Video off, Joel.
Oh, Jesus.
Ah! We got Barty.
Well, don't make it sound like that. I'll leave it.
Come on, everybody. Video off. Barty's here. Ah!
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, the virtual Uber. Tonight, Michael buys a bridge in New York. Wilson is a no-starter. And another 10 to 12 inches for Copper Harbor. All that and more on Late Night QRM. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael.
Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 137 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from central New York, this is Barty.
And from the family truckster heading back towards Copper Harbor. So we're going to be in and out of radio coverage. This is Michael, the virtual Uber. Be that. You know, the virtual Uber.
Okay. Well, Michael, first off, before anything, I got some important news for you. I heard that Hollywood, well, I think, I forget which network it is, but they're planning this summer to bring back that old classic Maze Flowers this summer.
Yes, I finally did catch up on best episode ever. You know, they did such good background work on that they actually had me believing I saw that pilot.
You know, I hate to say this, but I was right there with you. Not so much for Maze Flowers, because I'd never heard of it. They did make it sound like a real show. But the KGB thing, I swear that the KGB one was a real show. Because I just remember, I thought I remembered Yakov Smirnoff getting a show, a very short-lived show. And I don't remember what it was about, but it sounded good.
Yeah, that rang a bell. And I mentioned it, you know, I did, to my defense, I did mention it like the Late Night QRM immediately after that best episode ever, that I thought it was strange that Clayton Morrow was playing an Indian on that show.
Yes. But, that was good.
But, you know, the rest of it, they picked just about every 70s star you could think of. And the fact that they all were put together in a pilot really didn't seem all that strange from that time frame, you know?
The only thing
I finally caught up with episode 17A, and I'm like, oh, yeah, hook, line, and sinker. They got me.
The only other thing I noticed is usually they play a theme. Oh, well, they did play one theme, didn't they?
They played a couple of themes, actually.
Yes, that's right. They did. That one was a Burt Convy song or something. The Burt Convy show. Didn't they play something from that? I forget now.
Burton Cummins,
not Burt Convy. Burton Cummins.
Yeah.
That was great.
From the Guess Who?
Huh?
Yes. Yeah, because he from the Guess Who, because he was doing the theme song for Maple Syrup.
Well, Burton Cummins, he's the one that did that other song. But when he didn't he do a solo song?
Well, he's had a long career, but he's Canadian. That's why they brought him in.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
he must be if he was in the Guess Who.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a great show. A great episode. I got to admit,
they did a great job. Yes.
Yeah. So, yes. So, Michael.
We were doing better without show notes last week. You know?
I see the next topic. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't have it in front of me, so I can't tell you.
Oh, another 10 to 12 inches of snow?
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, another one of those. Well, you know, we're going to have a wintry mix. Well, now we got a winter advisory. Now we got a winter storm warning. The one that, and I brought it up on the podcast that shall not be named, but the real kicker about that day was they didn't cancel school until the kids had been on the bus for an hour already. So after they picked up everybody in Kiwanis County, pretty much, I think there was one more stop. They said, never mind, and had to send everybody home in the snowstorm. It would have been bad going to school, and it was bad going back because the plows didn't come out until a couple hours later.
Wow.
It was just nasty. Anyway, again, it was wet, heavy snow. The difference was, for the most of us, we just said, screw it, we're not shoveling it anymore. It can just sit there.
Wow, that's I just can't believe it, because today I spent the a good portion of the day on the JD doing the what I call scratching and sweeping the lawn.
Yeah.
We have one of those dethatcher things that I attach to the back of the tractor, and so I pulled everything up and then I took the lawn sweeper and swept up everything behind. And by this time next week, I should probably have about 4 inches of grass. That's what usually happens when I do that.
Well, there might be 4 inches of grass up here, but it's under 2 to 3 feet of snow. So everybody,
that's some hardy grass.
yep.
The snow that's melts, winter, and you got
that winter grass.
You said the snow melts, and you got 4 inches of grass. Oh, jeez. So what's it like, Michael, or Barty, out your way?
Nothing like Copper Harbor, luckily. We still have snowbanks and things like that around, but most of the yard around here is pretty clear.
Hmm.
So, and even the ice in the pond is receding, so that's looking nice. We should be having ducks mating anytime.
Ah, wow. Yeah, our ponds are all melted here. Have you been getting up in the 50s and 60s there yet?
Yeah, but it's been, it would come up, and then it would drop down into the 40s and the 30s again for a few days, and then it would pop back up to the upper 40s and then drop down. So it's been up and down.
Hmm. Wow.
The big thing that helped is we had a warm day that rained all day, a lot of heavy rain, and that washed a lot of snow away, which, of course, caused flooding downhill.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, they had some of that up out this way, too. I don't worry too much about the flooding since I live up on a hill, but some of the communities were getting a little worried, especially because when it does that and there's a lot of melting and there's still ice in the rivers and stuff, you can get the ice damming happening, and one of those ice dams let loose and all of a sudden you got a whole ton of water coming down your way all at once. So luckily, everything was good. Jeez, I'm tired tonight. You know that? Can you tell? Jeez. A little low key tonight. Joel, how's the weather down in beautiful, sunny Nashua?
Oh, 62 degrees today and sunny. Light winds from the northeast at 5 miles per hour. And that's about as close as I'm going to get to sounding like a weatherman.
I'm jealous.
zero precipitation, and I would know because I was inside all day.
Oh, really?
I
guess it's a little too cold to take Alvira out yet.
Oh, no. Yeah, she's not ready to roll. As a matter of fact, I picked up the plugs, and I haven't installed those yet. Still have to change the oil in it. But, yeah, it was still up until today. It was just too darn chilly. To want it to take the scoot out for a ride, but which leads me, I don't know, I'll wait till we get to the other segment of the show, which will lead us back to things with engines in them, as you can see by the show notes further down the page.
Okay.
But it was a gorgeous day. Like I said, I was in a chair all day, well, for 5 hours.
Really?
Yes, I was getting more ink.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
5-hour session. It's the first of two.
Wow.
And yeah, it was good. It looked absolutely beautiful outside. Whilst I, at that very moment, was sitting in a chair going, "Holy ever loving God, does this hurt?" But that's only momentarily. Momentary.
Hmm. Wow, is this on the other arm?
Indeed, it is. We have to have balance and symmetry.
Okay. What's this one?
This is a tribal piece. It's a tribal half sleeve.
Okay.
So if you aren't familiar with tribal tattoos as far as the geometric shapes and how they are all intertwined with one another, feel free to Google image tribal sleeves.
Okay.
And mine is custom. It's not after any, so I guess that would make it being half Cherokee. It would make it a Cherokee tribal sleeve because I designed it. actually, my artist, my tattoo artist, Evan De Palma, he's the one who truly designed it with input from me, the wearer.
Okay. Well, have to, can't wait to see it.
Oh, well, it's on the Mrs. Facebook page. I'm surprised you haven't seen it already.
Yeah. I've been kind of slacking off of Facebook a little bit lately.
So that makes you a face slacker?
Yes, I guess so.
Either that or a slack face.
A slack facer.
Yes, yeah. But I guess I did see it today. My wife and I have had a lot of time to kill today because both of our sons were visiting friends overnight. So we came to town, picked one up, and then the other one, as I said, went to go play Dungeons & Dragons. So we've just been kind of hanging around in town all day. So.
Ah.
Oh, there it
so
is.
I didn't have time to FaceTime.
Yeah, you FaceTimed. Excellent.
Oh, no, we can't say that anymore.
Why not? Why can't you?
Because FaceTime is the Apple.
All right, well, then you FaceTubed it.
FaceTube. That was the term. Okay, I my bad.
Oh, this is going to be a multi-session job, huh?
Yeah, this one is going to be a full left arm sleeve, over the shoulder and then across the back and up the neck, partly, but not above the t-shirt collar line. But the first tribal tattoos, by and large, take an insane amount of time due to the fact that the shading and the coloring in quite evenly, you have to keep going over the same area that needles were just at. With more black pigment, and so subsequently, to really have a beautiful blend out of it. So it also tends to make it a bit more painful because you're going over the same area that the needles were just over. And so the machines that were used, let's see, the outline is a single needle, which I personally think is the part that sucks the most and hurts the most, is the outline.
Yeah, it welts up pretty good.
Oh, the whole thing welts up.
Yeah.
But then the shader, two different shaders used, but typically the big one has 11 needles in it at one time. So it's 11 needles poking through the skin and placing pigment just under it. So it, I will say this much, it gets your undivided attention when it hits a nerve cluster.
I believe it.
you have to go to what I call your Zen happy place. And I could definitely, I could see where some people would come out of the chair and say, "We're done right now." Because, it does. There's parts where you're sitting there thinking, "Boy, oh my God, this just sucked."
Yeah.
But, how's that? What all the models say? To have beauty, there must be pain. In other words, like when women are wearing high heel shoes and blah, 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 that hurt their feet. I don't know. I heard something like that on a television program, and I kind of apply the same thing. The artwork I love. I absolutely love them. You either love them or you hate them. Mm-hmm. But they hurt to get, and they hurt while they heal.
A good tattoo artist won't let it get infected. And everything's sterile and everything.
Well, yeah,
everything's
still super sterile.
There's still a chance, though, that something could get in there. Even from the air,
realistic.
So you got
to exactly. I mean, it's the same amount of chance as it would if you cut yourself, doing yard work.
Yeah,
realistic. Actually, there's more of a chance in that happening than there would be in a studio because everything is so sterile.
That's
in the studio.
Yeah. Well, my cat was giving me a tattoo on my arm. It's pretty much done now. Uh-huh. There's no color. There's no ink. But there are several bumps and lines.
Some red swelling. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just about healed now.
Nice. Until the next one.
Yeah, which will probably be tomorrow. When he jumps up on the bed and he wants to wrestle. So, yes.
So, yes, the weather was gorgeous. It looked awesome through the windows.
Cool. And Michael's been busy all week rebuilding the network in Copper Harbor. How's that going, Michael?
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's see here. Things officially started to completely fall apart, I'd say, a week ago Thursday in the harbor as far as the network was concerned. It was patched together enough for the show last Saturday, mm-hmm. but about that time and into Sunday, about 80% of the harbor was down.
Really? Wow.
And a lot of it had to do with a vendor, router vendor, that had changed some firmware that just everything just fell apart after they did it. It was auto update. We've had some problems before.
And of course, you're Cyloning now.
Speaking of problems.
We're going to have to wait, Michael. We're getting
ooh, ee, ooh, ma, ma, mini, mini, bang, bang. What? Who?
Ting, dang, wanna, wanna, ping, ding.
See, I didn't say it that way because now you got to pay him royalties.
Oh, God. Michael, are you there? And he's out. He'll come back. He may hear us, but we're not hearing him. So we'll move on to... let's see, some tech news this week. For those who don't know, it's old tech news because we're always late to the game since we only do this once a week. And sometimes we don't report tech news until it's 2 weeks old. And then you don't get it for another week because that's how long it takes me to put the podcast out. So here with the three-week-old tech news, Google Glass, if you didn't know it or not, but Google actually put Google Glass on sale for everyone for exactly one day. And it already happened, I believe.
Yeah, it was the 15th.
Okay. Oh, that is a while back.
Yeah, that's gone now. Yeah. So if you had $1,500 that you were planning to spend on Google Glass, go have a party and buy something else.
But everybody is people are starting to wonder too whether Google is really serious about this or whether it really is just a Google experiment. They claim they're still going to put them out in 2015, but there's also rumors Google's not saying anything about the sales for that day, and so people are wondering whether they weren't that great. And I would say probably, yeah, they weren't that great. And this was just a massive experiment. And I think it started, I don't know whether people will ever get used to it because it had the camera. And for me personally, I know I've never seen somebody with Google Glass, but I the term Google Glasshole became a meme. And I kind of agree with that, because if I saw somebody that had Google Glass on and he came up to talk to me, she came up to talk to me with that on, I would at least expect them to put it up on the top of their head, because as far as I'm concerned, what you're saying to me, if you have it down and you're talking to me, is that you find whatever's online more important than our conversation. And so I would probably not participate in a conversation with you, or I would cut it off because of that. Now, other people don't like the fact that there's a camera, and they're not sure whether they're being... supposedly there's a red light, but they're just not sure whether you're taking pictures of them or not. And people really freak out if you go into the men's room or a ladies' room with them on. So, I don't know. I don't know whether... I can see Google Glass being used on the job for certain jobs where you got to have information right in front of your eyes all the time. Things like that, specialty things. But for the average Joe walking down the street, I didn't know which way it was going to go, and it looks like people are rejecting it now.
Well, it's also a piece of tech that's $1,500 for no particular use,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's not a lot of apps for it, so there really isn't a lot of utility. So as far as expected sales, I'm not so sure you can really honestly expect a lot of sales out of something that doesn't have a real purpose or a use, you know?
Yeah.
Walking around with it and using it all the time, I really don't really see why you'd want to do that, you know? I think it'd be better to be a little bit more obvious with a camera that you would hold. But I know there's a lot of people that want to be able to film and be incognito because the GoPro people sell you a case that you can put your GoPro camera in that covers up the red light so people can't even tell if you're filming with it.
Really?
And that you can just hide on your chest and things and almost have it so you can't see it.
That's interesting, because I was going to say, it's pretty obvious if you've got Google Glass on, because even with the new frames that they have now that look more like regular glasses, it's pretty obvious when somebody's got Google Glass on. Now, eventually, they may be able to shrink the technology down to where you won't even know, you know, it becomes part of the frame, and you won't even realize it, but...
Yeah, but you can cover up the recording indicating light, you know, so people won't know if they're being recorded or not.
Right, you could. So I don't know. I just don't see a need for it because, you know, if I'm by myself and if I want information, it's not that difficult to pull out my iPhone and take a look, you know, and put it back in my pocket. Matter of fact, we were remarking, and actually several of the tech podcasts have remarked how people, even though these new watches are coming out, traditional watches, a lot of people don't wear them anymore. Now, I wear one at work only because I can't have my cell phone with me, my iPhone with me. But when I'm home on the weekends, I don't put my watch on. I got my iPhone with me all the time. All I have to do is look at it, and it's got the time right there on the front. So... I don't know. I actually I would think that maybe the watches that are coming out might be a better new technology than Google Glass, because there it's not always constantly in front of your eyes, and if you need something quick to look and you don't want to pull out your phone, then you can just glance at it and then decide whether you want to pull out your phone or not. So that's just my opinion. Comments? Anybody?
I think I kind of agree with you. I'd be more interested in the watch if it would relay more health-related information, you know, like what my heart rate is and what my blood pressure is and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And that's the rumors of what the iWatch is going to be, if it's even called the iWatch and if they even come out with that. That'll be interesting. Joel, do you wear a watch?
I wear a watch every day.
Okay. Now,
as a matter of fact, I'm a very big proponent for wristwatches, up to and including the fact that, I mean, I still actively shop, you know, I have a couple watches now, and if I see one that catches my eye, I like classic analog watches. Matter of fact, I'm looking at an Invitica right now. It's called the Invitica Sea Spider. It's a nice, nice looking watch, and... Yeah, you know, it's I like an analog watch, although the one I wear every day while I'm at work is a it's a digital,
right?
G-Shock Casio. It's the solar, has a compass barometer, altimeter. I mean, the point being is it at, for its day when I bought it, it was cutting edge technology.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's even still by today's standards, but it got a little bit cheaper to buy.
Yeah. Well, no, and some people like watches because it's a piece of jewelry, and some mm-hmm. people like to watch it. Now, my watch is pretty nice. I've got a Citizen's watch, but it's what do you call it? Pilot's type style, but
yes, aviator.
Yeah, aviator. It's an analog, but it's also digital. So mm-hmm.
yes.
it runs on a computer, but it's got all the analog parts and has times, the world time on it, so I can mm-hmm. pretty much put any time zone on it, and I just right. press a button, dial the dial, press a button, and the hands automatically go to the right hour,
Yes.
And it's solar powered. It's got a battery. Mm-hmm. It's solar powered. I was just trying to think. I got that back in 2006, and mm-hmm. It's still going strong now. Battery's still good. Again, because it's solar powered. The other thing it will do is if it can tell whether it's on your wrist, if it's just yep. sitting like on a table, mm-hmm. It will actually, and it's dark, it will actually stop moving the hands.
Yes, to save battery, conserve battery power.
And when you pick it up or turn a light on, then all of a sudden you'll see the hands move move to where what the current time is. Mm-hmm. So it's a really...
It must be kind of a neat effect.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of neat, and it's great if you travel a lot, because I do wear it when I travel, just because you can't always have your iPhone on and off everywhere you go, and in some places the iPhone doesn't work, but you don't want to pay for data. in some places, so this has been great, because I can just press it in while flying. I can say, I'm going into this time zone, and I just hit the button, and zoop, it goes to that time zone. And I can go hit it again, and it goes back to home time zone, so I don't call Anne Marie at terrible times.
Right.
So it's a nice watch. Matter of fact, because I'm left-handed and I wear it on my left wrist, I used to go through watches one a year, and I'd always scratch the die,
face.
The face. And
crystal,
and,
yep.
Yes, the crystal. And
doorknobs.
But, yes.
Just the right height for watches, yes.
And but this one, I don't know what kind of crystal they put on it, but man, this thing, like I said, I got it in 2006. There's not a scratch on it. And it's the best watch I've ever had, and mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. But like I said, on the weekends, I don't need to. Other reason is because I'm usually out doing stuff and around the house, and I really don't want the watch on and get banged up or get caught on something. So, instead, I have my iPhone with headphones, earbuds plugged into it, and that gets caught on everything.
I never really got into wearing watches. There have been a few times I've tried, but I'd either bash it up or lose it or something like that. So I never really ever got into a habit of wearing watches.
I'll tell you, I miss it at work, because it's like, because it's, freaking meeting.
Sorry about that, guys.
I didn't hear
we're there.
No, we're not there. Sorry, Barry. Hi, Barry.
It's just, if sometimes I forget to put my watch on and I go to work and I say, oh, crap. Yeah, I'm going to be late to every frickin' meeting. Where's a clock? Where's a clock?
Usually when I'm at work, I'm always on a computer, so I've always got the time right there. I've found ways to be able to avoid most meetings. There's only a couple I ever get called to, so
lucky you. Just got it figured out.
Lucky you.
Yeah, people want them. They want their computers fixed, so I just stay on the machines. I volunteer for everything that requires someone to be doing something to a machine. Yeah, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of this.
So. Yeah, I do wear a watch on duty, mm-hmm. and I you specifically pick. Second hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're there.
Am I coming through okay?
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah.
We missed a little bit, but we understood what you said.
Okay. But the other thing is, and it's really important, is a lot of our emergency drugs that we use and have to mix in route for IV drugs are based on a 1/60th. They're based so that you can look at your watch and do a calculation on how much of the medication you're bumping into an IV bag and what rate you set it at. because although we've got iPhones and, you know, and everything else with us, we got to do this stuff on the fly in less than ideal conditions.
Right.
So we actually have drug calculations based on a watch face that we can figure in our head, and a pencil and paper as we're zooming down the road.
Oh, that's neat. I didn't realize that. That's kind of cool. I definitely knew you needed one to take a pulse and things like that. Of course, once you're in the rig, I guess you can put the little pulse thing on a person's finger. And
well, most of the time, but not always. Yeah. And then the other thing that secondhand really comes in handy for, because it's if people realize you're checking, one of the things we have to keep track of is how many times you're breathing for a minute. But you got it. But you have to do it unobtrusively, because if you start staring at somebody, or if you're not sure. Oh, a wonderful sunset here. This is awesome. You've got to keep track of their breathing without making it obvious that you're keeping track of their breathing. And it's easier to do, again, with an old style analog watch, and you're keeping track of your second hand, and then you know when to look, without tipping them off. Because as soon as they see you staring at them, like, what's wrong? Either they get hyper, or they'll hold their breath, or whatever. So you get, try to be
discreet
about it. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's neat. Wow.
We've got a huge reddish orange sun going down over the ice and some water of Lake Superior. There's actually a channel open right now, but it looks like one of the suns of Tatooine going down in the distance.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool.
What a description.
It's been down for hours here.
Oh, wow. No, it's still quite bright here.
Yeah, we know. It's
black here as well.
Yeah, although it is getting to be like you can be out at 7 o'clock and it's still daylight here now, so that's nice. I like driving home in the light, so that's a plus.
Yeah, we're all excited. We're actually seeing some the small patches, but we're seeing some patches of water.
Wow.
Yeah, the icebreaker still that work out there in Lake Superior?
Oh gosh, yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, the lake is still probably 80% froze over at least.
Jeez.
Wow.
I was showing a workmate of mine where you live. I brought up Google Maps and I said, "See that little finger that goes up into the middle of Lake Superior?" And I was showing him, and then I zoomed in and zoomed in and zoomed into Lake Fanny Ho and that area. And I said, "Yeah, he lives about there, and it's park past him."
Yep.
And he was like, he was very impressed. He was, "Wow. That's amazing." I said, "Yeah, it's an interesting place. One of these days, we'll get out there to see it."
Yes, we'd love to see you guys up here.
So we'll have to plan on that. So another very old ancient tech talk item here was that WWDC tickets went on sale, and instead of you talked about this a little bit last week. But instead of them selling out in 1.2 seconds like they did the year before, they decide to use a lottery system this year. So, Michael?
Yes.
Did you get the call?
Well, somebody called. I wasn't home, and they didn't leave a message. But
really?
Apple Corporate did call, and I actually never had a chance to call them back.
Ah, but, so you don't know. It's probably too late now.
Well, I'm sure it's too late. Although there is talk that a lot of companies had put in multiple names into the lottery, and if they start giving tickets back, then they'll keep going down the list.
Okay.
So we'll see. I mean, I didn't really have any high hopes that I was going this year, but I figured I'd shoot for it. And with everything going on in San Francisco right now, the hell with it.
Yeah,
it was dicey there last summer.
Really?
When I went to and from WWDC. Now I walked the length of the city pretty much from where I was staying. Which when I got to the center there, they're like, "You did what?" But if I put on like one of my firefighter shirts or paramedic shirts, nobody touched me. Nobody even said boo. But if I had a tech shirt on, comments were nasty as I was walking down the streets.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's you know, that's amazing. Okay, you know what I say? All the tech companies, all the big tech companies, move the hell out of San Francisco and let's see what happens.
Come to the Keweenaw. We'd love to have you up here. It's like all these people are pissed off. I mean, and yes, there are glass holes, and there are tech people there that just drive even the good tech people nuts. Mm-hmm. Mountain View is the epitome of it. A studio apartment in Mountain View, I guess, is like $1 million.
Wow.
But San Francisco, yeah, watch what happens when everybody moves out. Now, there goes the economy of the city.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. You heard what they did to Kevin Rose, right?
Yeah, I did. Were you guys referring to the reporter with the Google Glass thing, or did you bring that up?
No, I didn't bring that up. We were just talking about how the Google. I don't know whether you heard Google sold put Google Glass on sale to everybody for one day.
Yeah, to everybody. Yeah.
And then we started talking about
Kevin
the culture.
Rose, I think he handled that incredibly well. I don't know if I would have gone out and talked to those people after they threatened them.
You know, do these people realize that Kevin Rose has lived in San Francisco for an extremely long time, including when he was only making like $20,000 a year, if that, working for, you know, tech TV?
Yeah, he's a school dropout.
Had roommates.
He started from ground zero and built his way up, and he gives back to the community. So it's just absolutely insane that they're trying to use him as an example of what's bad in San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Okay. I say let all the tech companies move out and let's see how many jobs are available there. You know? And let's see how nice the last time I went, now granted it's been a while since I've been in San Francisco. The last time I went in there, I was not impressed at all. I mean, I was there a couple of years before that, and it was a nice city, but it had, you could see how much it had gone downhill in a short amount of time. And, you know, the only thing that was actually keeping anything nice in there were the tech companies. And
right.
So, okay, sure. You know, push all the tech companies out. There you go. See what the city looks like then.
Well, I think it's more like the proletariat people, the low-income people that are being priced out of their own neighborhoods. Mm. They're the ones that are mostly upset about it. And they're probably the ones that are least able to afford any of the expensive tech that a lot of these companies are making.
Mm. That's true, but okay.
So, you know, it's more of a class struggle than it is a struggle against tech or against tech companies in general.
So if all the tech companies,
it's just like a lot of,
if all the tech companies move out, where are they going to be? Probably worse off.
Well, there'll be more apartments that they can afford
if they have a job.
But no work.
Yeah, no work. So they still won't be able to afford them, unless of course they expect Uncle Sam to give them, you know, free apartments.
Obama bucks.
Yeah, so, really. Tell them to shut up. Now they can afford free health care.
That's right. That's very good. That was very good. Wow, I can afford free healthcare now. Thank you, Google.
All that money I saved on not buying health insurance, I can use to apply to it. A real nice apartment.
Oh, that's incredible. But yeah, I understand. But you know what? That's what happens with cities. And some areas, and I can't say it's the entire city. It can't be the entire city. Like most of the tech companies are located in one area, and so, you know, things move around a little bit. That's all. But yeah, sure. Take the tech companies out, and let's see how government runs without their tax dollars. So, just my say. Anyway,
yeah, okay. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, I think we should probably move on to one of our favorite parts of the show, Bottom Gear.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Late Night QRM's Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and this afternoon, or this evening, whichever, we have a few interesting tales to tell. Michael, why don't you start us off?
Well, I never got a chance to finish my network story, but we'll get back to that. But so I spent most of the week doing the network IT guy in Copper Harbor. But Tuesday night, I did have a meeting at our county seat at the Eagle River Courthouse, which is the oldest operating courthouse in the state of Michigan. Took the Jeep down the road, and Wednesday when I had this issue. So Tuesday night, I did go to this meeting, and I noticed something seemed a little strange, but I was really not in a hurry, so I was just kind of moseyed down to the courthouse, had my meeting, moseyed back. Wednesday is when this happened. It was my day to be milkman. We've talked about that before.
Yes, indeed.
So I went on the proverbial milk run, and as I was driving down to the city, and basically I was just going down to Calumet to pick up the milk for the community, and I was kind of buzzing down there, and it felt a little strange, but yeah, hey, you know, we were getting ready for snow. Actually, I think it already started to snow at that point. And as I was coming back, I noticed that every time I started to turn the wheel to the right to correct for, course correction there,
mm-hmm.
I had a nasty shimmy in the front of the vehicle to the point where the whole vehicle would oscillate.
Uh-oh. Mm.
So, and it got so bad by the time I got it back to Phoenix that I pulled over to make sure that everything was still intact and bolted together.
Right.
But the Jeep cannot do more than 50 miles an hour now without a difficulty in maintaining course. And as of that trip, it is now retired to Copper Harbor until I can get it down and have the whole front end checked out. It's never had anything replaced up front other than those anti-sway bar links.
Really?
But I'm a little concerned because I really don't feel anything loose in the steering itself. But remember, I had a problem with a right axle seal. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if I'm actually losing something in the right side of the axle.
Uh-oh.
But we shall find out. But for now, I can't afford to do anything about it. It still runs, you know, and it's a multi-cylinder, variable cylinder format. It still starts, and it gets me around Copper Harbor, and it'll get me to the ambulance if I needed to get me there. So that's kind of where it's at right now.
Gotcha.
So it still goes. We're going to get it fixed, but right now it's a city car.
It's for in-town use only.
Yes, in-town use only, even if it's foot-high wet snow. It got through that just fine.
And that fabled burg we call Copper Harbor City.
Yes.
I also wanted to jump in on your bandwagon because I too experienced an automotive woe.
Oh no!
Yes,
it's not so.
It is in fact so. I was shocked myself. Well, first of all, I wanted to say thank you for dumping all that snow all over New England.
I believe we could do.
That's right. We did get some snow this week, didn't we?
I saw that. Yes.
Indeed. Well, go ahead.
You have to admit that Michael's running out of places to put that crap, you know?
However, we believe in sharing.
The windows in the top of all of our cars was not the place to put it.
Yes. He dumped 3 inches on my area.
That's a lot. We didn't have that much down here, but I was Wednesday morning when it was a gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful day on Tuesday, and of course, my beautiful bride and like so many others, I had all the windows in the house open, and we were changing out that stale winter air and enjoying the wonderful breeze, and go to bed that evening, leave the windows open, why the heck not? And I woke up Wednesday morning to, oh, my ever-loving God, is it cold in here? And it's because it snowed.
I gotta tell you, Tuesday night, was it Tuesday night it happened?
Tuesday night.
I fell asleep in the Lazy Boy, and so promptly woke up about 12:30 and took Sammy out for last outs and put him on the, you know, leash, and I opened the garage door, and he went trotting out like he did, and I lost him in the whiteout.
Wow.
What was going on, Mace? It was just, I couldn't believe it. It was like, I was walking around without a coat on this afternoon, you know.
That is something else. Yeah, I'm thinking, man, is it cold in here for some reason? Let me go around and start closing these windows. I looked out and thought, no friggin' way. Is that, I can't see the glass on any of the cars because it was coated in snow. And I thought, this is something else. So much so I took a picture and posted it on our Google Plus page for Late Night QRM. And I said, thanks, Michael. And
I posted one too, welcome. Actually.
Yeah, I saw that. I did. And I thought, and what was par for the course, because I had already put the snow brush away for the year. Uh-huh. I wasn't planning on removing that until December from the trunk of the car. I'm like, oh, where's my doggone snow brush? So I find that thing, I pull it out, clean off all the windows on my car. I decided to brush off the glass on my beautiful bride's car as well, just to give it a chance to melt before she had to go to work. Jump back to my car, throw the key in the ignition, and nothing.
Oh.
I got all the lights. I got no grinding noises to turn that engine over. And I thought, uh-oh. Did Michael's sudden cold snap kill my car? Did his gift of snow take Wilson out of the game?
The Jeep virus came with the snow.
It did. And I thought, oh, to say it isn't so. So I tried again. Nothing. And again, nothing. And, of course, I don't want to be late for work. And I thought, oh, son of a bitch. So I open up the garage. I get my battery load tester out. So I thought, well, maybe it's the battery. So I'll throw the load tester on it and check it. And my battery was under load was at 9 volts. So I thought, that's crap. So I thought, all right, I guess I got to wait till Walmart opens up, take the wife's car, go buy a battery, install it, which is a pain in the butt to put into that car, by the way. And so I wait, do all that, only to throw the key in again, and nothing. Same exact symptoms. And I'm like, son of a bitch, I bet you it's the starter. And yep, that's what it was. Starter died.
Hmm.
Yep, flat spot in my starter. And I'm thinking, so of course, call my boss, tell him I'm going to be in way late because my beautiful bride was kind enough to let me drop her off at work, take her car to work, mm-hmm. and then get out of work, drive back, pick her up from work, and then come home. I was going to say long story short, but I passed that. I think that ship sailed about 10 minutes ago. I did pick up another starter and began the process of trying to change it out. I said, you know what? Just for shits and giggles, let me give it the old classic starter whack. And I found my calibrated 2x4, which I had sitting
calibrated 2x4.
Sitting in the garage, and I was able to wedge it down in and get it on top of the starter.
Yeah.
Took a large mallet and went whack, smacked it, put spun. The key in, fired, spun.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't trust it. Yes, I got the car to start, but I don't trust it. And this is on Friday. Mm-hmm. So we carpooled for Wednesday and Thursday. And a buddy of mine who's an absolute ace mechanic, I said, hey, yeah, I'll throw the starter in for you, no problem, because I didn't have a couple of sockets that I would need to do the job, make it easy. And it's Wilson's back up and in the game again. I was stunned. There was no warning whatsoever.
Wow.
And it was, I blame Michael Snow. Michael Snow killed my car.
Wow.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, well, that's probably the original starter on that car, too, so.
It was.
Yeah.
So that was a 20-year-old starter in that car with 120,000 miles on it.
Yeah. So it's probably time.
Mm-hmm.
They do go.
They do that. So, I mean, aside from that, no, Wilson is alive and breathing once again, and I'm happy about that. And I'm actually going around fixing little things. Now the weather's starting to turn nice.
Hmm. Yes.
Is everybody still there? I keep hearing ding, ling, ding.
That's Michael's dropping in and out because he's still on the road.
He's complaining about his snow.
Oh, geez. So it's now time for a new part of the show, which seems to be, we did it last week, and I think we did it a couple of weeks ago. It's Joel and his Hollywood Minute.
The Hollywood Minute, but it seems like I keep reviewing shows from the BBC.
That's all right. Okay. Joel's Old Hollywood Minute.
There you go. Which, basically, one of the things I had come across in the course of watching television with my beautiful bride and decompressing after some fantastically crappy days at work this past week, she found a television program called titled The Fades. F-A-D-E-S. It's a BBC program on Amazon Prime. Which, I have to tell you guys, if you kind of like the supernaturally... gritty kind of angels and demons kind of theme on television programs, this show will knock your socks off.
Really?
It is really, really good. There's only 7 episodes of this TV program, and it's with a lot of English, they're all English actors in it. However, to surmise real quick, I mean, it's about a teenage 17-year-old boy who has these funny apocalyptic style dreams, and they really, really, really bother him and disturb him. He had one of his parents, his father had actually passed away, and that was psychologically disturbing him. That go along with these dreams, only to discover, and I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but it basically evolves into good versus evil, angels versus demons and the undead, and it is friggin' good.
Wow.
It's like I said, it's only 7 episodes on Amazon Prime, but it's definitely worth the watch.
Is that all they made, was 7 episodes?
Season 1 thus far, yeah. It came out in 2010.
Okay.
So there might be still open-ended. So there might be another season coming.
Okay, I may have to check. Oh, never mind.
So when you want, fire up your Amazon Prime and do a search for The Fades. It's
check the magical antenna. So
you could do that as well.
Yeah, see if there's more than one. You know, more seasons. What is blinking? I turned everything off.
You got all kinds of blinky, clangy noises going on
over your mail. I hate that when stuff comes up, but I thought I had it all turned off.
Guess what?
Apparently not.
Something's still finding a way to make a noise.
Well, I would like to jump in on your old Hollywood Minute or BBC Minute. Is actually Hollywood. I started watching the new show. I actually watched it on HBO Go because I missed it. But somebody was talking about there's a new show on HBO called Silicon Valley, and it's by Mike Judge, who Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, and of course the famous movie now Office Space. And this show is a lot like Office Space. There's no laugh track. It's kind of dry. Matter of fact, I watched the first episode, and it was like, okay. I don't know whether I'm going to like this. It's about a bunch of guys that are young guys in Silicon Valley. They got a good idea. They're pitching it to these giant corporation, Google-like corporations, and it's just the interaction between these guys, the big corporations, the interaction between the big corporations, and that kind of stuff. The first episode, I was like, okay, I'll give it a second try. And the second episode, now I'm starting to get into it because I'm like, you know, if you're in the tech field. And you follow tech news, and you follow these big tech companies and stuff. You go, you know, they're probably getting this about right. This is the way it really is out there. And so far, there's only been 2 episodes, I believe. The third episode's probably on this week. I may have to start actually watching it on HBO or get the DVR to record it. So I'm going to give it a try. So far, it's kind of like... I don't know whether you'd like it unless you followed tech or you were into tech, kind of followed all that stuff. But for tech type people, and the fact that it's Mike Judge, who I like his stuff,
right.
So I give it a try. If this were before you buy.
Try it before you buy it.
If this was Leo Laporte's before you buy, I would say it's a try. So that's that my part of the old Hollywood minute. Now it's time to check into our games, and the first one. Okay. Now I've got to actually say, and I'll turn. I'm fading this out because I know it's blasting you guys. I got to say that Clash of Clans, I am desperately trying to save enough gold pieces to upgrade my town hall. And so, therefore, I am taking full advantage of any shields that I get for free.
Yep.
So I have not been participating in battles too much this week. The only time I participate in battles is if I only got an hour or two left on the shields anyway. Then I'll go attack.
Right.
And usually I can only attack once because it takes a while for my armies to build back up again. And if I go off and then somebody attacks me, and although my defenses have been doing pretty good, I've been getting like 3 and 4 attacks and, you know, only losing one. So I must have things set up pretty good.
Pretty good, then.
Yeah. But you know, of course, you get that one failed defeat and you get shields. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, I've got shields for 18 hours. I'm taking advantage of it. So that's my story for this week. Matter of fact, I even lost my shield rating because I wasn't fighting enough. And then when I got it back, I was started out as a 3. Of course, I did one attack and I was already up to a silver 2. But, you know, before when I was more active, I was up to a silver 1.
Yeah.
And I understand Barty's at the top of the list now.
Yes, I got lucky.
You got lucky?
I didn't do a dang thing. I got a couple of attacks that came against me that were repelled, and that launched me up. Right now I'm at 981 points. I was at an even 1,000 till I had an attack that succeeded.
Oh, wow.
But I am still at the top because you're at 977.
Okay. And Joel, how are you doing?
I'm kind of in the same boat you are, except for my defenses aren't doing as well, and I'm getting a living crap kicked out of me. So I'm trying to... I was in the midst of trying to save up to upgrade my town hall, and then I got lambasted a bunch of times, so I'm finding that now I've been busily upgrading cannons. Cannons, mortars, and... next thing I'm trying to do is get, like, you know, my wizard towers, which those things take a ton of friggin' the little globbies, to upgrade. But yeah.
They're the most powerful thing you have, I think. You know that and the mortars, but the wizards are faster until you upgrade the mortars, I guess.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at right now, which is an update, and you get my butt kicked and update. Butt kicked, update, butt kicked, update.
All
right. Yeah, I can relate. You know, the attacks that get me the most are the ones, I don't even know what weapon these people have that does this, but when you do a replay and you see, like, these lightning bolts come down from the sky. And
those are the spells.
Yeah,
that's from
the
Dark
spells.
Mana.
Dark
Mana?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You spell, and they can use one spell, and it'll... target on an area and just blast the crap out of this stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it kills it immediately.
Yeah, that one's good. The one I haven't figured out yet is the ones where somehow they can drop the guys right in your inside the town instead of starting on the outside. I haven't figured out how they can do that because I have never been able to do that. You know, drop my guys right in the middle of town.
Right.
I've always had to be outside the walls and you know, go that way. But every once in a while, I get attacked, and all of a sudden, all these guys are showing up in the middle of town. And for the first time this week, I was attacked not by anybody on the ground, but a series of dragons, fire-breathing dragons, attacked my town and
no kidding.
Totally wiped me out 100%. That guy must have been pretty... pretty high up because, yeah, there was no people on the ground. It was just dragons.
Need to bring in some Nords from Skyrim.
Yeah. But, yeah, so yeah, it's kind of interesting, and I hate the, of course, I don't have any myself yet. I think I have to upgrade to get them. But I hate those little frickin' angels in the bubble that protects the people on the ground. So, you know, there's my wizard trying to whack at the henchmen and all, you know, and they're just in this white bubble protected mm-hmm. as they go run around wiping out everything. So, but it's still a fun game. It's cool. Like I said, I'm trying to get up to level 7 just so that I can get new things.
more stuff.
That's right. And of course it'll take me 5 times as long. That's the other thing. Once I get the gold to upgrade to level 7, mm-hmm. it takes freaking 6 days to do it.
Yes. So. Yes, it does. And that's it I can see without purchasing some shields, and I'll just say it that way. Mm-hmm. I could see where it's going to be impossible to gather up enough gold and then upgrade the town hall without being attacked before you got enough gold put together. I'm starting to draw to that conclusion quickly.
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
This thing has to be a money making proposition somehow, mm-hmm. you know. And I think it's going to get to a point that to get really really well advanced, you're going to have to spend some money.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's when I level out then. I'll pay him some money, but I saw the one thing there and it was like, you can buy something for $99. Who the hell would spend $99 on a phone game?
Good question.
Yeah, I'm with Joel. It's an easy game to get bored with because, you know, to me it's a lot like Farmville just with weapons. You know, you have to keep going through the same routine over and over and over again, and the further you get, the longer everything takes. You know.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, I'm starting exactly, Marty. I'm quickly drawn to the end of my enjoyment with it.
Yeah, I mean the repetition just gets tiring after a while.
Hmm. Well, I look at it maybe twice a day, and I just get on there. Usually, it's while I'm sitting on the throne.
Mm-hmm. It is a good throne game.
And that's that's when I play it. And
maybe they ought to change the name to Clash of Throne Plans.
that's too good.
All right, which brings us to the next game, and Michael's not here, but I will continue on.
Acquiring position. Downloading latest intel package.
And of course, we are talking about. And I'll fade this out too because I'm killing the other guys. I haven't figured out how to fade it out on their side. We're talking about Ingress, and I have to say that today, about an hour before the show began, I leveled up to level 7.
Dun, dun, dun.
And
yeah, really, where's that sound effect?
Oh. Wait a minute, I have that somewhere. Where is it? Where is it?
I know, you used to play it.
There we go.
Sounds a little ragged from where?
Now, it's
slightly worn.
Well, let's put it this way. I've been playing Ingress on the way home from work a lot. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank all the enlightened greenies out there who decided to totally wipe out and take over Milford, the town of Milford, the town of Wilton, and of course the town of Peterborough, because that enabled me to get close to, not even close to, I will say I was able to jump 80,000 points or AP, gather 80,000 AP points this week alone. And I wish I knew which computer that was coming from.
The one that makes the dingy noise.
So I'm not sure where it's coming from. Which was great, and so that means that with the current game, I am at level 7 now. Level 8 is the last and final level to get to achieve, and then you are an expert in the game. Highest level. Of course, they double the amount of AP points you need to get every time you level up. So I've got to get up to 1,200 or 1,200,000 points, AP points, now for the to achieve level 8. And I said, well, that's not too bad. But then on Friday, was it Friday, I think, the one of the Ingress reports came out. They come out with a weekly report that you can watch. It's a video. And they announced that there are rumors. Of course, this is that they're going to start and begin to have a level 9 through 16. And I was thinking,
so you've got goals then. You've got things to achieve.
Oh, geez. I was like, wow, I was going to get the level. And I was wondering, what do you do after you hit a level 8 then? I guess then you're just going around trying to help people and looking at trying to make huge, you know, as we call it, blue blankets on the resistance side. That kind of stuff. But I said, that could get old after a while. So now they've created 8 more levels. But my only question is, if they continue to double the amount of AP you need to achieve the next level for 9 through 16, I'll be dead before I make level 16. I
don't know. You think about it. You're deep. You're deep into this game. You're playing it every day to and from work.
Not only that, but just like, yeah, I don't even, you know, work's over. Well, lunchtime, I go in and I check the Intel map at lunch. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, when it's over, I say, okay, time to go. Pull up the Intel map. And I sit there and plan out where I'm going to go and what I'm going to attack. But well, I got to say,
you live in a fairly populated area, so there's probably a lot of people playing that. You know, and that's more of a I don't know, I guess there's more people that are technically savvy there, you know. The problem I have here, there's not really much to hit.
Yeah.
You know, most of the towns that are around me are like 1,000 people, 2,000 people. Of course, there's Redfield that's 800 people. Mm-hmm. And most of them, you know, they're more into their tractors than they are into tech.
Right, right. So, but, and the
so
other...
There's not really a lot of stuff to play with around here, you know, in Ingress. Yeah. I tried to play with it, and I've got to drive like 60 miles to start doing any activity. And, you know, quite frankly, that's a lot of gas expense, you know, unless I get something else to do. You know, we don't drive 60 miles unless we're going to go and take care of a number of items that we've been holding up, you know?
Right. Yeah, and the thing, I'll tell you, the thing that I'm lucky about, I'm fortunate with, is I do have the 50-mile commute. But I go through, Merrimack, and I go through Amherst, and I go through Milford. I don't take the Milford bypass anymore. I go through Milford.
Through the Oval?
Yeah, I go through the Oval because, yeah, that's, I mean, I took the entire Oval, the center part of town of Milford. I parked my car by the fire department. There's a parking lot back there. I parked it there, and I just walked up, and I go over to the Oval in the middle, in the center in the Oval, and there's 4 portals right in the Oval itself, and then they're all over the place right there. So, I just, you know, and it's actually, now that the weather's nice, it's not bad. It's like you get out and you walk around. And then Peterborough is kind of the same way. There's a ton of portals right in downtown Peterborough. So what I end up doing is I go park in the parking lot, you know, by the Depot Square, and I get out and I walk around. That's what I was doing tonight. And I probably walked about 5 miles, though, because you have to keep walking back and forth. It's like, oh, I can make this triangle, but I have to go get a key here, and I got to go up and hack and get a key here and a key here, and then you got to figure it out just right, and sometimes you got to go back to get another to get a key again, you know? So you really do get your exercise. And there's a younger couple that husband and wife team that play. They also live in the Jaffrey area. I haven't met them yet, but we chat online through the game and stuff, and we've kind of been splitting things up. And I made seven, and I think they, if they haven't already, they were down in Winchington tonight, and they were mopping up the town of Winchington. And so they were probably very close if they haven't made level seven yet. I'm sure it's going to be a matter of a day or so. So So it's fun. I don't know. It's fun. And, you know, I get on the Google Plus communities, and there's talk there. There's rumors right now that the frogs are planning something on Easter. Because we have noticed that there has not been a lot of activity going on. They haven't been up to their normal attack mode. And a matter of fact, I had to joke with one of the ones I talked to in the game and say, you know, we hunger for green. Don't leave us starving. You know? And then that afternoon, he went and took out all of Peterborough. We said, thank you. Because, you know, if it stays blue, you can't do anything. But yes, it's been very quiet, and other people have spotted level 8s walking around towns, and they haven't really been attacking things. They've been just kind of checking things out. So we're this is like playing Intel. doing communications analysis and stuff. What are they saying on the game? You know, trying to get that comment.
Yep. The tip that you need.
Yeah. And I had mentioned I saw somebody on the open side. See, they've got two communication things built into the game. One is for your faction, and it's secure, so only the faction can see you. The other one's open to everyone. And one guy said, oh, I'll drop this stuff for you. And I rolled back to see the rest of the conversation, and it wasn't there. So I have a feeling he started on faction, and he accidentally slipped over to the public side. And I said, he's dropping
was
stuff.
Was it really accidentally?
Or, yes, as somebody said, or is that just to throw us off? I said, well, being that I used to be a radio communications analyst in the United States Air Force, I said, I just report what I see.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. Oh, hey. You're back.
Yes, Michael. I'm back. I am at the home about to make the trek up to the office.
Okay. Good for you.
I think
you.
I'll drive up there today.
Not in the Jeep, right?
Yes. Well, I'll drive. The Jeep can make the trip from one end of the driveway to the other.
Can it? Can it really?
Yes, I think it can.
Well, that's like 60 miles, isn't it?
He's got a big yard.
Yes.
We do everything big up here.
Go big or go home.
All right. So we got home and found out that the other big surprise, which is not a big surprise, power's been out for a while, although it's back on, but the telltale signs that the power was out.
Oh, wow. Well, in case you didn't hear, Michael, I'll just tell you before we make the thing. We were on the Ingress part, and we'll wait for you to get back if you have any Ingress comments, but the big announcement on Friday, I don't know whether you saw it, was that it looks like levels 9 through 16 are to be here soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I wasn't aware of that. But as I said, I have been without a Nexus for the entire week because I was loaning it to a friend who is considering a tablet purchase, and he cannot afford iPad at this time. So I said, well, if you're not going to go with an iPad, at least go with a Nexus so you can at least be supported.
Yes.
And I had, actually, as we were driving home, I was explaining to my wife why there are so many different versions of Android out in the field because there are so many manufacturers, and they don't want to give you the new latest version of the OS because they want you to buy their newest version of their hardware rather than upgrade your existing OS to the latest version of the OS.
And that's another reason why I went strictly with Google's Google Nexus because for my Android thing, because you will get the latest and greatest, and at least as long as your hardware will support it. And
right, but I've got the original Nexus, and it still does everything.
Yes, yeah, and
well, as far as I know.
Yeah, so that's why I would stay away from like the Samsungs and some of the other ones. Yeah.
Plus, no crapware.
Yes.
Yes. That big, the big thing is no crapware.
Definite plus. And although, well, I did mention that before. One day when I was out in Milford walking around, I noticed that I probably already talked about this, so I'm repeating myself. I was out there and it was cold. It was like in the 20s, and I was doing fine for a while. But then finally, I was tapping my screen, and nothing was happening. And I don't think there was anything wrong with the Nexus 7, except for I don't think I had any capacitance left in my finger. It was so cold. The blood circulation went away. Now, it worked on my iPhone. It just didn't work on my Nexus 7. So.
Holy cow.
What?
I walked in the house, and I walk out, and it's like 40-mile-an-hour winds out here.
Yeah, we could hear.
And, you know, I don't know why it took me this long to try using it, but I'm actually using this week the earbuds and microphone that come with the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It does a pretty good job of noise canceling.
Yes, it does. It's
as opposed to me holding the phone and you hearing every crunch under my foot.
I got to tell you, Michael, and you'll hear it when the show gets put up. But yes, it's been excellent audio from you.
Good.
While you were mobile, you might even consider maybe doing that with the podcast that shall not be named.
Actually, I have, especially in the episode you haven't heard yet.
Oh, number 87.
Yes, the ghost episode of 87 that has yet to be released of the episode that shall not be named.
And this has been this has been really fun because you hinted about it and you said you basically had a little rage fest.
Oh, I definitely went on a rant. You betcha.
And then now you know. Oh, if you want to hear it, let me know. We want to hear it, Michael.
I will release it.
Yes, we want to hear it.
I am more than curious.
Yes.
I will release it. But the one thing I noticed on 87 as I was recording it is that, like, I'm in the Jeep right now,
mm-hmm.
and audio is pretty good.
Yes, it is.
There's not nearly so much Jeep noise doing it this way rather than holding the iPhone and trying to do it.
Right. No, it's much better.
Especially if I hold the mic up like this, it's even better.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it sounds better when you let it dangle.
Okay, I'll never mind.
Uh-oh. We're losing you, Michael.
He's just west of Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, you know, his home is on one side of Lake Superior, and the office is on the other side.
It's
a long drive. It's a short boat ride, but a long drive.
And even shorter flight.
Especially for those flying squirrels. You can do it. Come on, you can get up this hill. Oh, jeez, there's a downside to having a foot of wet, heavy snow. All right. We are there. That wasn't too bad.
And that pretty much ends the show for tonight.
I'm sorry, guys. You know,
Michael's arrived. We're done.
My wife was nice enough to take the long way home that had the best cell coverage for the longest period of time.
And it did. It was. Was she driving?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Wow. Yes, she was. Now, timing wise, I'm actually, and I'll say this because by the time this show comes out, I'll already be back home. But I'm actually getting ready to head out at 10 o'clock in the morning for another business trip. Wow. So I'll be heading back out west for a bit, and then I'll be back hopefully by Wednesday.
As
I said, I'm assuming I'll actually be back before the show is posted.
Yeah, probably.
Before the next snowstorm.
I haven't been...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
I will be taking a very nice vehicle on this trip, but I'm not going to say that on the show. I'll tell you. The company's providing a vehicle.
Excellent.
But I'm not sure they want me to say what I'm providing, what they're providing. So I'll have to tell you guys off the air. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, listeners.
Okay,
I will post episode 87.
And you'll find out what vehicle he's driving in episode 87.5.
The Bentley Ghost.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, shall I try for the third time to talk about the network in the harbor?
Yes, you can.
Or should we just say forget it because it's IT and nobody cares?
Oh, no.
Crap, I had turned the heat off in here. It's buggers. Okay. So, again, a week ago Thursday, things really started going to heck. Really, really, really bad things were happening. As you know, everything's mesh node here. And as you switch from, well, one of the things that was happening is when you went to go connect your computer, it would take anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes before you got an IP address. Who did we lose? Or was it me?
Was it me?
Barty. Lost Barty.
Barty. Sorry, Barty. So it was taking 3 to 5 minutes to get an IP address every time you connected to the network. Of course, everybody thought everything was, because nobody was going to wait 3 minutes or 5 minutes
right.
for their internet to come up, so everybody thought it was broke.
Right.
And every time you switched a mesh node and you switched from one node to the other, you'd go through that that same 3 to 5 minute wait period again.
Mm-hmm.
So the ubiquity of our mesh node, which is like a cell system out here, I mean, you can walk everywhere on the same SSID, was just totally broken.
Right.
And then things went downhill from there. Things got worse. And we traced it, as I was saying earlier on the show, that we traced it to a firmware change. It totally screwed us up. There was no easy solution to the problem. And we all decided, well, this isn't going to be pretty. There's no easy way to fix this, but the solution is, unfortunately, what they normally call the last mile. We call it the last 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there's a problem in the backbone or a problem in the main routers, it's a pain in the butt, but, you know, it's something you can fix. When it's a problem in the last 1,000 feet, it means every piece of customer premise equipment is screwed up, which meant all 40 routers in the town were no longer working properly. So we got a new distribution system that was not compatible with the old distribution system as far as getting the main bandwidth here. And then I have spent the last 7 days in between storms and weather and everything else, climbing on roofs, going into attics, wherever these pieces of equipment are installed, pulling the old piece of equipment, which is generally new, but with defective firmware, and we've been wiping the equivalent of the BIOS, the firmware
right.
machine, and installing an open source piece of software to turn it into a customer premise piece of equipment that's compatible with the new distribution equipment we've got.
Would that be Gargoyle?
Huh?
Would that
actually,
be Gargoyle?
No, it's not Gargoyle. Oh. Actually, it's called Attitude Adjustment, and it's from a
really.
It's from a UK. Yeah, it's actually from the UK. It's an UK version of the software. We have found it to work the best, but I loved it. Attitude Adjustment. But so we've had to completely convert everything over. Now the upside is that there are places in town now that, you know, I've been trying to serve the entire town properly and push bandwidth out. At each of the respective nodes in town now, we're seeing anywhere from 17 to 30 megabit coming into each of the distribution routers. So the bandwidth has just gone up exponentially all over the place.
Wow.
So it's been an extremely painful 7 days. And that's what I talked about in episode 87. Now, I will leave the rest of it to 87, but the frustration point for me is that I took off 7 days of work to do this. And I did it happily because the town needed it.
Right.
But tune in to episode 87. I'll post it tonight. There were some things that transpired, and I got pissed. I got royally pissed. And then the people did realize I got pissed and went, oh, my God, what have we done?
Let me guess. P people were bitching that the internet wasn't there.
He's going to save it.
He's going to save it for 87. Yeah.
You think you got no internet now? Watch what then. Watch what I can do there. Click. Now you got no internet.
This is late night QRM, okay? So shield your ears, folks. But I think the phrase that I stated in the general store in Copper Harbor after hearing what was said to me was looking a couple people in the eyes and saying, fuck it. Go to HughesNet. See if I goddamn care. And I walked out. Sorry, folks. Don't mean to shock you like that.
Yeah, but, okay. Do they realize that you do this for nothing for them?
You do it out of the goodness of your heart. You know, it's like to make sure everybody can get what they want at a very affordable price. You don't have to do it.
No, I don't. No, I don't. And I go into that in detail on episode 87. But yes.
And do they realize how much it would cost to get somebody up there to do it and how often they would respond to outages as fast as...
It's worse than that. Yeah. I mean, this is not a utility. No utility would bring internet up here.
That's right. This is
a couple of us over ramen noodles and cups of coffee. And in my case, I'm the only one in the group that I think that actually drinks. But we're a bunch of nerds providing internet
for a whole town. Exactly. Otherwise, they would have to go. My old man used to have HughesNet in the mountains of North Carolina. So you have a giant satellite dish in your yard. Yes. You've got painfully slow friggin' speeds.
Yes.
And it cost a bloody arm and a leg to have it.
And you have a bandwidth limit.
Yes, we won't talk about the bucket.
Yes.
I had it here originally.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was an interesting one because it was receive only. You received from the satellite and you went out.
Oh, yeah, the dial up back return. Oh, my God.
Yes. I mean, that's what I had. Yes, if you use too much bandwidth at one time, they would stop you for a while. And then allow you to come back on. So
yeah, but before my local phone company offered DSL, I was on HughesNet, and the only thing I could say about it was the only saving grace was that it was better than dial-up.
Yes,
yeah,
that's what I said.
That was
too.
About it.
It was better than dial-up.
It was absolutely worthless. You couldn't do online gaming with it. The bandwidth was really slow, but the only advantage it had was that it was better than dial-up, and that was all about it.
Yep.
So, yep.
Michael,
so
what the hell are you doing?
You can hear the rest. Oh, I'm sorry.
Michael and his sound effects again.
Yeah, I was packing for tomorrow. I'm packing electronics. I'm sorry. I just realized I'm crinkling stuff on the show. Bad, Michael. Bad, Michael.
I have to say, Michael, my wife absolutely loves it when you do that, by the way. When she was listening to the show and she heard crunch, 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 crunch. And then, of course, the comment comes up, what's he walking into the office by way of Saskatchewan? She actually had tears coming down her face listening to that.
Welcome to the Real Life Michael Show.
Tonight's secret sound is...
crunching plastic.
That was anti-static plastic, by the way. That's why it's so crunchy.
Nice. And it's probably 50 degrees in the office.
Yeah, although that feels balmy. I mean, it feels balmy. It got up to 38 degrees today. That's nice. And we picked up my son from his friend's house, and he's been in a pair of running shorts all day. That's running shorts weather for him.
38. Wow. Mm-hmm. Get out some suntan lotion.
Yeah, really.
Jeez. So, well, I got to be running, guys.
Hey, Barty, it's great to hear you,
brother.
We got
it's great
hearing
from you guys too.
Yeah, and sorry. Hey, Barty. Offline sometime. Do you carry your iPhone around, don't you? With you, all
I
the
carry
time?
My iPhone, my iPad, and Nexus 7 with me every single place
okay.
I go.
Okay, and you can get iMessages, right?
Yes.
Okay, because there's been a couple times where we quick change of plans and I got to get your phone number so we can, because we usually do it on a group iMessage.
Yes.
And you're not on it right now. So,
as far as Apple right. ID.
So, because I understand a couple of weeks ago when we moved it to 9 o'clock and forgot that we didn't tell you because you weren't on the iMessage, you had actually come here and I think yeah. I showed up.
Yeah, I started quoting Pink Floyd.
Hey, is this thing on? Hello?
So, and I want to apologize for that, Barty. But,
yeah.
And, hey. So that's why last week I said, oh, we're going to start late again. Well, let me post it in the community so Barty at least has a chance to see it.
Yeah, that's no problem. Okay. Yeah, just send it to my Apple ID. Joel has it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, we'll get you,
yeah, you
on.
Can pass it around to all of you.
Okay, we'll get that on. Okay. Get you on the iMessage thing.
And, that sounds good.
So you'll find out immediately, up to date, what's going on. <'Cause laughs> summer's coming, and I have a feeling this is going to happen maybe more frequently than not. So
yeah, and that tends to be my fault most of the time, because a lot of times I can't get back here by 8 o'clock. I mean, you know, it's 8 o'clock, cripe, it's still bright sunlight outside. We're doing stuff. Yeah. Or I'm running down the road in the ambulance or something. So, yeah.
And as time goes on, it'll be light here at 8 o'clock too. And then, you know, and of course Joel has the kidlets games and stuff to go see. And you know, as it stays light longer, those games tend to go get scheduled later. So, but we'll work on it. We'll get it. So we probably should. Well, we'll say goodbye to Barty because I know he's got to go do drugs.
Actually, the last one was at 8 o'clock, and I did them right before the show.
Okay. So but
I just got to get my old ass in bed.
Yeah, okay. That's AIB?
Yeah, exactly.
AIB, yes.
So, but we might as well, I think we're done. We're done topics, and unless anybody else has anything else, we do have a musical guest tonight. It's an old friend. As a matter of fact, I don't think the group's still together, but it's, oh, wait a minute, let me see.
Thanks for keeping up with current events.
Come on.
Yeah, we got to have a segment of the show called Not Quite So Current Events. Well, <that's,
laughs> everything.
What happened to this day 2 weeks ago?
This day current events.
Yesterday's news.
Today's topic, did you hear the Titanic sunk?
Iceberg stinks boat, story at 11.
Nixon resigns.
Oh my God! All right. Well, the musical guest tonight is Three Blind Mice and their song "Jack and Billy."
Cool.
I pulled that one out from the archives.
Your ass.
He had three blind mice in his ass.
No, wait,
there's
no
a topic for the next show.
How do you think they went blind?
Not the mice.
All right, but so that's going to do it for 137. And before we go, we always like to say thank you to all the military out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, and especially the OCONUS guys.
I've got to interrupt right now.
Go ahead.
My wife always asks, and I can't find it online. What does CONUS and OCONUS mean?
CONUS means Continental U.S.
Okay.
And OCONUS means other than Continental U.S.
You try to search for that online, it doesn't...
It's an all military term, at least it was in my neck of the military. We had CONUS and OCONUS. Yes. You had assignments, you're either CONUS or OCONUS.
Okay.
Yeah. So the OCONUS signs were basically meant overseas, you know, out of country. So.
Okay.
So that's what that means. And we, especially the OCONUS guys, we thank you for what you're doing, and we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. Until then,
Absolutely.
We'll keep the fires burning for you. So with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from central New York, this is Barty.
And from a nice 45 degrees in the man cave in the suburbs of Copper Harbor, I'm Michael, the virtual Uber.
and we'll see you next week for show 138. But right now, here's our musical guest, Three Blind Mice.
Exercise, Barry on his head side, old Jack's out in the rain. He never really cared about the weather much anyway. Oh, Jack and Billy boy, what a joy. Jack and Billy boy out in it again, heading for the spinny on a wet day. Jack could say, then whistle Billy in again. 'Cause Jack knew Billy good and Billy well, he understood old Jack's every word. As long as I remember them, I remember them. Are you happy now? Say you're happy now. Are you happy now?
did get the better of him in the end. Well, he seemed to lose his way a bit anyway. Well, I remember three things that he really loved. His wife Winnie, his old dog Billy, and his cuckoo clock. Jack came out of his darkness just for a moment on the day Winnie died. She was a good wife to me, he said. And his face dropped, and he stopped his cuckoo clock, and he never did sing again. Jack slipped back into his world, wherever that may be. Probably with Billy in some wet spin somewhere. Say you're happy now. Good night, Jack.
Samson, speak. Good boy.